Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this chance to return to your house once again, a chance to open your word and to study it and to grow closer to you through that. Please open our hearts and minds. Give us the understanding of your word that you want us to have. Encourage us to share that with others so others can come in and know you as their Lord and Savior before it may be everlasting too late. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Intolerance to the gay and lesbian's lifestyle. As we know from the recent events, it took place actually 2 o'clock this morning, the shooting down in Florida, where 50 were killed in what they call a gay bar, and a number also injured that are in the hospital, all by a man who claims allegiance to ISIS that was intolerant of the lifestyle of the gays and lesbians. We are told in the scriptures about the Old Testament times, about how God's judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, about how it was even in the ordinances to stone those that were of that persuasion, of that behavior, to put them to death. Old Testament times. We are now blessed to have the grace of God put upon us in the New Testament times. Judgment is only to be by the hand of God when it comes to something like that. We are to leave it in God's hands. We know that that lifestyle is an abomination unto God because it clearly tells us in His Word. And we know how He put things into play, how He created us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Male and female. God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply." In the gay and lesbian lifestyle, they cannot be fruitful and multiply. It's biologically impossible. Even if they do what is becoming a popular thing, and that is to mutilate themselves by the hand of doctors and some of them even by their own hand, to mutilate themselves to a point where they look like another gender. These transgender movement that's infiltrating the entire world right now. But it's just a mutilation. It's an abomination and it's a mutilation of their bodies. They say, "It's my body, I can do with it as I please." Well, no, it is not. We know from the scriptures that tell us that Jesus Christ bought all of us. We are His. We are bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid that price. He spoke us into existence for Himself. We are His. We are not our own. We cannot just decide that we want to mutilate ourselves and alter ourselves into something that isn't real. They might look like the other gender that they want to portray. They might dress like it. They might behave like it. But they are not. You cannot transgender yourself. You cannot, no matter what science has available to them, no matter what the doctors can manipulate and mutilate, you never will change yourself from one gender to another. It is impossible because it is based on genetics, their chromosomes, their DNA, that cannot be altered. So if they're born a man, they stay a man. If they're born a woman, they stay a woman, no matter what they do to themselves. Now we know it's an abomination. We know in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is abomination. What is abomination? Abomination is something that makes God sick. He tells us that. It nauseates Him that somebody would even consider to do such a thing. It bothered Him so much that there was a time in the Old Testament where He judged an area that had gotten so involved in this behavior. In Genesis chapter 19, We read the account of where, because of their behavior, their sinful behavior, and their judgment come upon them, chapter 19, verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and did eat, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto them, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." In other words, that they might have relations with them. They wanted to rape these two men that had come, that are angels in the form of man, that had came to deliver Lot and his family out of Sodom. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door behind him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." He was willing to sacrifice his two daughters to prevent this abomination from occurring. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, these men are the two angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And he does. He destroys that entire region over there, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, scorched to a point where nothing could survive. No plants, no life. All because of the abomination of their behavior. The behavior that we were reading about earlier in Sunday school that was an abomination unto the children of Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22, it reads, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves and every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land." What is a Sodomite? They are those that behave in the way that those were behaving in Sodom and Gomorrah. Those would have been the homosexuals. "And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." So it angered God that they would allow that behavior to be in the city. God wreaks havoc on them, judges them. And we see over in chapter 15, verses 11 and 12, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So he is recognized for being a godly person because he removed that abomination out of the nation. It didn't say he went along and started killing all of these Sodomites. The Lord hadn't told him to do that sort of thing. But he did get rid of them. He got them out of there. Cleaned house. Over in Jude, New Testament, all the way over there right before Revelation, the book of Jude. We see here in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. This is talking about those that allowed the Sodomites to come in and to be a part of their community. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It clearly, throughout the scriptures, tell us over and over that such behavior is an abomination. That such behavior should not be accepted. Which is what we find in this world, that they say, oh, leave them alone. They're born that way. They can't help it. It's okay. Leave them alone. They're peaceful. They come up with all kinds of things to accept their behavior. It's even being forced upon us by the government. The government is threatening to take away federal funding if you do not make special accommodations for the gay and lesbians, the transgenders, as they're calling them these days. They're threatening to take away funding from schools, even if they don't permit them to use the bathrooms of their choice. Businesses are making special accommodations for them as well. Talking to a young man earlier, saying that a government job that he's on, that they are going to special meetings to be trained to know how to deal and to be tolerant of such behavior as these transgenders. So it's being forced upon us, even though that they are a very, very little percentage. When you look at the numbers of folks in the world, they are being lifted up. Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men to strength of to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They want to say evil is good and good is evil. He's saying here, woe unto them. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. We are told not to accept sinful behavior, not to lift it up as being something okay, to be permitted, to be tolerated. We are supposed to be intolerant of sinful behavior, not to tolerate it. Why? Because we know that the commandments are given to us for our benefit. If we go against the guidelines that God has laid in place for us, if we make Him sick of our behavior, it's because it hurts us. These that have changed themselves, these that have mutilated their bodies to try to make themselves look like a different gender, have hurt their bodies. They have hurt themselves. They are psychologically, they are mentally damaged because of that. They are emotionally damaged. Relationships are damaged. They are saddened. There is a higher percentage of suicide in the gay and lesbian lifestyle than there is in the non-gay and lesbian lifestyle. It's because they are so troubled. They have given themselves over to Satan instead of over to the Lord. They are fooled by Satan. He has blinded them. But that's the times that we live in. Romans chapter 1 speaks of this. We go to this chapter so often because it is what is going on today. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They try to make a truth into a lie. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They know good and well they're behaving improperly. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." You want to dwell in sin so much, you want that kind of lifestyle, he says, have at it. And released that conviction that was coming upon them. And what did they do? "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." That's lesbianism. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly," homosexuality, "and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." The harm came to them because of their behavior. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." When they rebel all the way to the point where God is no longer able to reach them in any way, He closes that door of opportunity of salvation to someone who has reached that point. And note that it talks about these that are lesbians and homosexuals right before He talks about them becoming those that are reprobate. Those that have then dwelt so deeply in their sinful behavior that God has gotten to the point where, "I've had enough, I'm through with you." That's when they become reprobate. And when they become reprobate, the Holy Ghost no longer calls upon them. They are doomed for hell. There's no more hope for them. But don't think that you can determine who's reprobate and who's not. As we continue in verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God," everybody knows the judgment of God, they know that they're doing sin because God has manifested Himself to all mankind, "that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They love it when they get others to come in and partake in their sinful behavior. They love it when they get people to accept their sinful behavior, because they're fulfilling Satan's will. Chapter 2. "Therefore, thou..." Now, who is the thou here he's speaking to? This is a letter written from Paul to the church in Rome. The thou here are the Christians. He just gave us a description of ungodly behavior and ungodly people, but note how he turns it in chapter 2. "Therefore, Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. We can't go puffing ourselves up and thinking that we're better than someone else, even if they have mutilated themselves into changing their appearance into something that they are not. It is still not our place to judge them, to look down at them, to condemn them. That's God's place, not us, because we're a bunch of sinners saved by grace as well. We just may have had a different sin by choice. Our choice of sins may have been different. That don't mean that our sins are better than their sins. No, we're all just a bunch of filthy sinners saved by grace. He's telling us and warning us, don't be looking down your nose at these people that are like that. Don't be thinking that you can condemn somebody. Don't think that you can judge somebody. Don't think that you can determine somebody who is reprobate. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We've got to know it's God's place to judge them, not us. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to love them. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? If you're going to run around, puff yourself up and be judgmental like this man of intolerance, went down there and killed 50 people that were in this gay bar and shot a whole bunch of others, he puffed himself up as if he was their judge and executioner and did that. He became part of the sinful behavior. He died committing this awful sin. Do you think he's going to be rewarded for that? No way. It tells us here, judgment is God's place, not ours. We are to love them. We are to lift them up in prayer. In 1 John chapter 1, the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we start puffing ourselves up as being something great because we are a Christian and we can look down our nose at somebody who is not, saying that, well, you're a sinner. Well, we are fooling ourselves thinking that we are no longer sinners because we came from the same place. We were all born in this world sinful. We've got to know that we cannot be puffing ourselves up in such a manner. Because it says the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talking about Jesus Christ can cleanse us. Even if we have gotten into the sinful behavior, such as the gay and lesbian movement, no matter what sin we have gotten into, if we have any notion of guilt in our behavior, that means the Holy Ghost is still working with us, because that's where that guilt comes from. That's where the consciousness of sin comes from. It's from the Holy Ghost. And He's still working with that individual, and they have not yet reached reprobate. There's a chance for them to come to know the Lord as their Savior, to be cleansed completely from top to bottom. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for that sinful behavior. Even those that are dabbling so deeply in it, He has paid the price for it. Let's not puff ourselves up in thinking that we can be their judge and the executioner, as this man has done early this morning. It's God's place. We need to lift Him up in prayer, pray for the families of those people that have lost their loved ones, pray for their friends and associates, pray for the ones that have been injured, that they see that the Lord has given them another chance to get it right, given them a chance to be able to come in and know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and be looking forward to a home in heaven for eternity, and get out of that abomination and become someone who brings honor and glory to the Lord. Even these that have mutilated themselves and disfigured themselves, some of that can be reversed, some of it cannot. They are physically mutilated for the rest of their life. Some of the bizarre things that they have done to themselves, you're going to carry the rest of your life. But those things, even those mutilations, can open doors of opportunity to them to testify and witness to others that might be going down that same pathway to reach them before it may be everlasting too late for them. So as long as they still have breath within them and they have not reached that reprobate point, there's a chance for them to be saved. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for all those that are in sin, no matter what kind of sin it is. Because God loved us so much, as it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That goes out to all mankind, everyone, even the sodomites of the Old Testament time, even the gay and lesbian movement of today, the transgenders. All sin. There's an opportunity for salvation. There's an opportunity for forgiveness. Don't puff yourself up. Don't be their judge. Turn it over to the Lord and pray for them. Let's pray now. We thank You, Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, for Your Word. It is so powerful. No matter what's going on around us in our lives or even in the world, we can always turn to Your Word and find guidance concerning that. Help us all to learn from Your Word and share that with others. And know that there are so many things going on in this world today that were even prophesied and written about thousands of years ago that they would come to be. And we can see that happening. Help us to know that we need to be urgently about Your work to spread the gospel so that more can come in and know You as their Lord and Savior before it may be everlasting too late. Give us the boldness to step up this week and proclaim You as our Lord and Savior every chance that comes our way. We thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.